You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
And the Astros get one win against the Braves this season yesterday, thanks in large part to Kyle Tucker. Ryan Pressly, the bullpen we'll get into, was iffy this weekend at best, but they did get one win after dropping the first two. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes with you as always. Hope you all had a wonderful weekend, better than the Astros weekend in Atlanta. As Paul, you've brought this up, it was a fun atmosphere at the very least.
Yeah.
Kind of gave you playoff vibes.
Tense.
But the Braves are still very good.
Braves are still very good. And, I mean, even on Sunday, I mean, they're hanging in there with you all the way through. Charlie Morton striking out 10 Astros. It's weird to see Charlie Morton in another jersey. I realize he's been gone for a while. It's still weird to see.
But he was
it.
Here during a World Series.
Yeah.
I think when a player is somewhere during a Super Bowl or a World Series or a championship, you picture them in that uniform.
But you're right. And, I mean, I almost feel like he stopped existing after he left because of how important he was for that 2017 team. There was a regular listener of my old show back in the day that pops up on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, Ocho Texto. And he used to always say, like, this was the first that I had ever heard, like, Charlie Bleepin' Morton. So it was just strange to see him out there. From a, hey, what is happening? What is going on? Perspective. The lineup still is making me confused.
Panic Man?
I'm not.
Are you quite at Panic Man yet?
I'm not Panic Manning after this weekend. Like, this is a, you know, this could have gone
Eli
either
Manning,
way.
Peyton Manning? Panic Manning?
Yeah. I don't feel like I'm being panicky here. Like, you lost 2-3 to the defending World Series champions on the road in a series that really could have gone either way. Just didn't go your way. And whether that's because the bullpen's been taxed or because the bullpen's had bad luck, I saw a stat that was put up. I think Chandler Roan tweeted this out about how the Astros bullpen's batting average on balls in play is like .344, which is absolutely outrageous. Like, so they have had some bad luck, I guess, on that front. The balls have just been falling in spots where fielders aren't. But it's frustrating because you just realize, oh yeah, like, there are a couple of teams that could just do this to them.
Right.
Where they could take him out. And I think there was a team in the American League that once was on that front. But whether it's the Dodgers or it's the Braves, I mean, you weren't that far away from losing to the Dodgers in the World Series. And, you know, obviously we saw what happened with the Braves last October.
The bullpen was scary to me. Maton giving 3 hits, 3 runs in an inning. Neris and Stanek couldn't finish it on Saturday.
Montero.
Stanek, by the way, has been like super, super consistent, but just as of late. And then, you know, look, Pressly was off. Now, Pressly ended up getting the job done, but Pressly was off too. So it just wasn't a good weekend for the bullpen. I do, however, feel it time, while it may not be time for a Panic Man,
for
a Yankees Watch.
Let's do it.
2022.
Yankees Watch.
Damn Yankees!
2022.
Oh, my God. You guys, they are just falling apart. New York is legitimately going to, I think, riot or start throwing bottles at somebody. So they've lost 14 to 17. And the best part of this weekend is what we heard from Aaron Boone.
Oh, yeah.
So he's asked at first about what's going on with the Yankees. Just listen to what he does with the table. Here's Aaron Boone.
We got to play better, period. And the great thing is it's right in front of us. It's right here, and we can fix it.
Do you remember?
It's right here.
It's not.
It's there, and we can. We can run away with this thing.
Yeah, you
can. And
we
got the dudes in there to do it.
Sure.
We got to do it.
Sure.
I mean, also, have you ever heard a coach that's just like, well, we just got to get... That's Bill O'Brien vibes. Do you remember when Bill would be like, well, we just got to get out there and play better? I mean, you guys overcomplicate it. But it's like, say why. Like, what are you all doing wrong? Be specific.
That would help out a little bit. But at this point, I don't know what you call out when you've lost 14 of 17 and you're the Yankees. I like that he slammed the table because it just reminds me. Remember when Denny Green had his speech with the Arizona Cardinals when he was their head coach after they blew a game against the Chicago Bears? Going into the week, the Bears were, I think, undefeated. And Denny Green said, they are who we thought they were.
That's right.
That's why we play the damn game. And we lit them off the hook. And that Boone speech was definitely not quite there energy-wise. Also, an intrepid reporter, Vanessa,
yes,
decided to ask Aaron Boone about the lead in the AL East for the Yankees, which is now down to only 8 games.
The lead's now down to 8. What?
I don't give a crap about the lead. Play better. We'll handle it. I mean, we can talk about that. 8, 9, 7, 10. We need to play better. I mean, if we play like this, it's not going to matter anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it's like we handle our business. We're in a great spot. We understand that, but we need to handle our business.
Why are you rubbing your nipples?
Because it's delicious. This is amazing.
Paul is literally
I don't care if it makes you guys uncomfortable. I get off.
Nipples. Hello, HR.
To the Yankees losing this way. It is just so juicy. They're all getting pissed off and throwing temper tantrums for no reason. We had another moment. So in this game on yesterday against the Blue Jays, there was a moment where the Blue Jays starting pitcher, Alex Manoah, had thrown a ball and almost hit Aaron Judge. A little bit later in the game, he hits Aaron Judge. Judge gets pissy.
Does it look purposeful?
It did, but the pitcher had a very good explanation for it, and we'll get to it in a moment. But what's funny is while Aaron Judge is going to first base, Gerrit Cole, of all people, gets out of the dugout, and he's trying to start essentially a
Gerrit
fight.
Gerrit Cole can't fight.
I agree with you.
Give
he's
me
a pitcher.
Break.
So
it's not even that. It's just his personality.
Hey, stop that.
Thank you,
Shockmate. I don't know how I feel about the fights. I just, like, wanted to go out there and defend my guys.
I gotta say, though, like, you would think that he would only defend Boris clients because, of course, he doesn't play for the Yankees.
Boris,
he plays for Scott
myself Boris. In this fight.
So, Alex Manoah was asked after the game about Gerrit Cole, and here's what Manoah had to say.
Been struggling with my sinker for about 5-6 starts now. I made a pitch and obviously hit Judge, and obviously I looked at him and I said, man, you know, I'm not trying to do that. And I think he understood that. And I think if Gerrit wants to do something, he can walk past the outie side next time.
I love that. And it's accurate. My whole thing is that to say it with your chest, right? If you're going to act like you're going to fight, like, that's fine.
Actually,
go
do
fight.
It.
Yeah.
Go full Don Zimmer.
Right. Just fight.
We're not even done with all of the Yankee drama this weekend because then, Vanessa, Paul O'Neill had his number retired, number 21. So, Paul O'Neill, for those who don't remember, was a great Yankee in the 1990s and was a big part of those championship teams. If you watch the Derek Jeter documentary, you've seen a good deal of Paul O'Neill. So, O'Neill goes out and they're handing him, you know, a plaque that has number 21. And Hal Steinbrenner, I believe, goes out there.
Oh, this was great.
And he just gets booed.
Do we have the audio from this? It wasn't very good.
It was a faint boo. I was hoping that we would be able to play it. But even better, during Paul O'Neill's speech, he referenced Brian Cashman.
Oh.
And the crowd lost its mind and started booing Brian Cashman in the middle
this.
Of it.
I texted you actually about this because the Yankees fans don't very rarely do they turn on their own, right? And we've seen Aaron, well, throughout the cheating scandal at least, every time Cashman or Boone has brought up the Astros, and even in the last couple years, you know, the Yankees fans always support them as, yeah, we would have won more if it hadn't been for the Astros. I like seeing the Yankees fans, you know, kind of like the Braves booing Ozuna.
I do too. I think that you're right, Vanessa. At first, they definitely were in lockstep. But New York is a place where if you don't perform, they will turn on you. And I think they all realize, oh, Cashman's just full of bleep. And they haven't won a World Series since 2009.
But that's what I'm saying. They haven't won yet. Yeah. Those guys are still there.
Exactly. Like, if you have taken that long to get back to where you're expected to be, I mean, Yankees fans are arrogant, and they have reason to be arrogant. Maybe not recently.
You didn't do an accent during this Yankees watch, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like there's so much right now. Like, I don't even have to make a cartoon character.
No.
Like, this is hilarious. It's 14 losses in 17 games. The Astros lose over half of the games they play on a road trip, and they actually built on their lead in the American League.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Texans and other preseason thoughts. Some big news in the NFL breaking about 30 seconds ago. You're going to want to hear it. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
In this edition of Gender Stereotypes, I'm telling my coworkers what colors they look good in during the commercial break.
I'm appreciative of this.
You're a winter. Sean, I'd have to look at your veins closer. But
that is so strange that this part of it, that but you have to look at someone's veins.
Literally something no one's ever told
me. Aren't
all veins blue?
I think
blue?
You may be a summer. It's weird because we're all brunettes. I'm a winter, but I can dip into spring a little bit. Anyway, we'll get to that. Let's start with some of the NFL. Actually, get to that. We're literally never going to talk about it on the radio again. But Baker Mayfield will start. Browns versus Baker Mayfield and the Panthers. That will be week one per Adam Schefter. They've just named him officially. This is not a surprise at all.
No.
We didn't think it would be Sam Darnold. Now we know it will not be Matt Corral. So, again, it's obvious. But first thoughts when you see that the Browns will face Baker Mayfield and the Panthers week one officially.
Well, I think Baker's going to be ready to play. That's for damn sure. And want to prove him wrong. I guess the question that I'd ask is, do you think that he could perhaps hype himself up too much for this game? I mean, I think that was one of the things that the Browns didn't like about him, is that he had an attitude about him and seemed to be irritated easily. Is he perhaps going to be too irritated, too focused, too angry going into that game? I do think there is such thing as over-preparation and psyching yourself out of something before it happens.
I think it's prove-it time for Baker Mayfield.
Oh,
I do.
Definitely.
I think that he has played and talked as if he has some proverbial chip on his shoulder, and he's definitely had that attitude. He made it clear to the media. He made it clear to social media when he wrote, "My wife and I thank the city of Cleveland," and he hadn't even been traded yet.
Yeah.
So he's made it clear that he is disgruntled. And look, in some ways, he has a reason to be. You heard the report from Chris Mortensen where the Browns said they wanted an adult in the room. You heard, you know, the fact that he played injured. Helped Cleveland win their first playoff game in decades. So I'm not saying he doesn't have a few reasons to feel the way he does, but he's talked and he's talked and he's talked and he's talked. He needs to win with the Panthers and he needs to do it consistently.
I do wish that this game was in Cleveland. It's in Carolina.
Yeah.
But it would be really interesting to see how the crowd welcomes Baker Mayfield. Just as interesting as it will be to see when Deshaun Watson plays his first game for the Cleveland Browns, how they will handle that.
Adam Schefter tweeted this. Browns versus Baker Mayfield and the Patriots, week one. Also week one. Seahawks versus Russell Wilson and the Broncos. And possibly Ravens versus Joe Flacco and the Jets. Now you put this with the fact that Deshaun's first game back is against the Texans. Please don't tell me that the NFL schedule makers don't know what they're doing and that this is like totally random.
You're right, but this one was totally random, right? Like with Baker Mayfield, like this is just dumb luck. Like maybe the NFL schedule makers knew that there's a good chance he would end up in Carolina. That
I'm
would
into
be
the
pretty
conspiracies.
What was the last one that you said?
Possibly Ravens versus Joe Flacco and the Jets.
Oh yeah, that's
what Adam Schefter
was really laughing, thinking about that one.
Adam, you don't have to do that with Joe Flacco.
It's
Joe Flacco. He's elite. Yeah. I mean, come on. Super Bowl champion with the Baltimore Ravens.
He is a Super Bowl champion.
I get technically he is a Super Bowl
champion. You sound like you sound like him when he talks like Paul when he talks about technically Russell Wilson is a Super Bowl champion.
I mean, look, Joe Flacco won them those playoffs. Like Joe Flacco played out of his mind in those playoffs and he earned that contract. He never did anything noteworthy again.
The heat in the building's going to be a little different than, you know, Joe Flacco a decade later going back to Baltimore. The only reason he's playing is because Zach Wilson tore his something, meniscus.
Yeah, that's true. The Broncos Seahawks game week one is going to be sick.
That will be good.
I kind of want to go.
Is it in Seattle?
Yes.
You should go.
Oh.
You could do our show from there.
It's more
I
want to like
go. You should go.
I know, right? Thank you. Paul always does this. I'll give Paul a compliment, and he'll be like, no. I'm like,
well,
what?
I know. I'm weird.
I try to really help you out, man.
It's a Monday night game, and also, like, I'm sorry. I just don't want to pay for another flight this summer. I've spent too much money on plane tickets.
Okay, so don't go.
But now I want to go.
Thank you. This directly probably relates to
I'm like a cat.
Conversation that I won't mention that we had on air before. Yeah. A very specific personality trait that, unfortunately, I do think we actually
We're both
share. Relationships, am I right? All right, the Texans did beat the Rams this last
Super
night.
Super Bowl.
This weekend, excuse me, 24-20.
That's right. It's
Super
football
Bowl
time in Houston.
Confirmed it is football time in Houston,
they
guys.
They were ready to play.
Quick thoughts. Bummed out not to see Damian Pierce. I think we're going to find out more why, possibly.
Maybe.
When we listen to the Lovey audio from today, it sounds like he touched on it a little bit.
Do you think, though, that we'll more find out? I think we'll more find out week one. I feel like it's a good sign that Pierce wasn't playing in this game because they feel like he's ready to go.
Sure.
That's a position where you can risk yourself getting hurt. And now they're probably trying to figure out between Marlon Mack and Rex Burkhead, okay, who's going to be
right
the predominant guy that we use after Pierce? Because Pierce has been the most, outside of Brandon Cooks, the most impressive guy to watch out there.
I was not impressed with the Texans' offense. I don't think either one of us were. The Texans' defense, I understand it's a preseason game, and I understand that the Rams, according to ESPN, did not play literally one starter. But it was at least nice to see the Texans' defense not a mess. You can tell that they really respect Lovie Smith and that he at least has an idea of what he's doing.
I got to watch the game again because I got to see the specific angles that Davis Mills might have had. Angles is the wrong word. I want to see what those plays were because on the first couple of drives of the game, they were just throwing a lot of short passes. And it's consistent with the theme that I've seen in training camp. Is that by design or is that because Davis is just going to take what the defense gives him? Which there is nothing wrong with, but when you're a quarterback whose probably best strength is that he has an absolute cannon for an arm, I would like to see that guy actually try to push things downfield. And when he did try to push things downfield in that two-minute offense, it wasn't the most accurate display. But at least they did have the one play to Paris
Campbell.
What do
we expect from Stanford quarterbacks? It's almost like the brand now. Like, you have to be able to throw the ball well.
Yeah.
You have to have a cannon for an arm, and you have to be able to make deep, accurate passes.
The thing with Luck, though, Luck could run. And I mean, that's why Luck was such an awesome prospect. He doesn't get nearly enough credit for how good he was from a mobile perspective.
He also liked getting hit.
Yeah, he liked to hit people.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, he enjoyed that. All right, so the Ravens versus the Cardinals was an interesting preseason game to me. First of all, the Ravens continue their streak, by the way.
22 in a row. It's so 22 bizarre.
22 in a row. They take it very seriously.
Maybe they don't, though. I mean,
you think that they're just, it's a coincidence?
I feel like it. Like, they probably, it's in the back of their mind, but, like, do they really care that much about winning all these preseason games in a row that are completely disconnected?
Because if you think about the people doing the winning, or like guys that are third, fourth string, like this is their last chance. Like, those aren't the same guys year to year. So
last chance you.
Yeah.
Which team has more question marks around it? These are two teams that had a lot of off-season storylines. You could go with Lamar's contract. You could talk about the injuries. If you go to Arizona, you could talk about the homework clause, all of that. I actually say the Cardinals, and feel free to argue with me on this. I know they made the playoffs last year, but they lost Chandler Jones. I don't know if Kyler Murray is going to study, if he's going to be motivated by that, or if in rebellion he's not going to look at the playbook at all. I think that there are some questions about, okay, they've always been good the first half of the season. Can they actually finish a season off strong and live up to J.J. Watt's maybe we're just effing better than everybody?
Yeah. Well, for the sake of being different, I'm with you in that the Cardinals have more, but for the sake of being different, is Lamar Jackson taking a step forward this year as a passer? It does happen from time to time. Not the first year, second year, third year. It could happen down the road. We did see it with Josh Allen. That's definitely not the norm, though. He does not have Hollywood Brown anymore. I'm not saying that that's necessarily the end of the world, but Hollywood Brown, as you mentioned, is now with the Arizona Cardinals, was with Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Who is going to be Lamar Jackson's number one guy to throw to? J.K. Dobbins is maybe going to be ready to go week one.
Yeah, the health is always a thing with the Ravens.
And they had such bad luck last year. Yeah. I think a lot of people are assuming, oh, well, they had such bad luck last year. If they're all healthy this season, they should be good. Probably. On paper, their defense looks really good. On paper, their offense has some pieces and, of course, has Lamar Jackson. I think there's definitely more pressure. Like, there aren't expectations, I think, with Arizona. I think a lot of people are like, we don't know why the hell that they just extended this entire regime and that Kyler Murray with the way that things ended. But with Baltimore, I think there are some expectations on a team that honestly has not done anything close to what they were capable of over the last couple of seasons. There was a lot of injuries last year, but you know, go back a couple of seasons where they were 14-2 and they were running all over everybody, and then they lost in the first round, the first playoff game that they played against the Tennessee Titans. Like, they have, despite that talent, underachieved over the last couple of seasons. So I think there's a ton of pressure on Baltimore going into the year. I feel like they'll live up to it, but I with Arizona, you're kind of like, yeah, who cares, right? You know?
Bigger question mark, Sean, Baltimore or the Arizona Cardinals?
I think it's Arizona, just because they're so, it's the vibes. I feel like this is a you know,
it's
theme throughout
Gen
the show,
Z.
But the vibes are just so off with the the whole contract thing with Kyler Murray. You know, you have to do homework, then people find out now you don't have to do homework or whatever. And then the Cliff Kingsbury's weird quote about, like, yeah, since he's not going to play, we're going to have him call the plays. He'll find out how hard it is.
Yeah.
So I watched the Metallica documentary, Some Kind of Monster.
Ooh.
It's like a 20-year-old documentary. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
And it's something that stood out to me that they're like basically on the fringe of breaking up, Metallica was. And one of the things that they said is that, like, you know, if the drummer has thoughts about the guitar, like the riff or something, they would just go, well, why don't you play it? Like, if you have thoughts about the lyrics, you come over and sing it. Like, if, you know, the singer has thoughts about the drummer,
Oh, wow.
Like, you drum it. And then that never happened. It was
right.
Yeah.
And so that's what the Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray thing reminds me of. When I saw it, I was like, that's Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray.
It's exactly like Metallica. I love a good music sports
although,
comparison.
Although, I will say, Metallica did figure it out in the end, and I have a little bit more trust in, you know, James Hetfield and Lars Ulrich talents than I do Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury.
Damn, yeah. Dude, that's offensive.
It is. First of all, I love a good music
Lars
documentary.
Ulrich.
But there are a lot of questions surrounding both teams. It's preseason, baby. These are the things that we talk about.
We're so close.
We are so close. You never have to question, however, your home insurance if you go through TGS.
Wow.
Thank you. Appreciate that. You don't even have to talk to an agent. I know you pay too much for your home insurance. I haven't seen your bill, but I just know. It doesn't have to be a hassle anymore. Log on to TGS Insurance. Here's the thing. They have a new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers, and you get a full quote in just 15 seconds. And all you have to do is send a single text. So get out your phone, and you text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. What happens is their system asks for your home address. You just text it back, and you get your full quote within 15 seconds. So I know it sounds like a scam because it's too good to be true. It's not. Their online rating is almost perfect. And their average customer from last calendar year is saving over $870. You could do a lot with that cash. So again, no one likes to shop for it, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. One more time, text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Sports. ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior, says Paul Gallant.
Yes.
You hear it before each show. His Lord and Savior is back at Bucks training camp.
He returned from the heavens?
From the Masked Singer, I believe, or plastic surgery. We will see. But it seems like the marriage is still intact, and he's back for the first time since August 11th.
It was for family time,
okay.
Vanessa.
A vacation?
You can't ask Tom Brady what he does with his family. What he does with his family is what he does with his family.
My favorite part of this whole saga is how, I'm sorry, uncomfortable Todd Bowles sounded throughout the entire thing. Because I don't even know if Todd Bowles knows why. This was Todd Bowles just a few days ago talking about Brady's absence.
Like I said, a week and a half ago, I said he'll be back this week. So, that hadn't changed. We expect him back this week.
He's back this week.
Do you know yet which day it's going to be?
It'll be this week early.
I mean, have you ever had secondhand uncomfortability for somebody? Because it's just like he can't say Tom Brady's on The Masked Singer. He can't say Tom Brady's getting a nose job.
Oh, my God. Why nose job?
He doesn't need anything done. But my point is, it sounds like Todd Bowles might not even know. And if he knows, he can't say. This is so weird. But he's back today regardless.
Yes.
I still believe the Masked Singer theory.
He descended from the heavens after time with his family. And you don't, you know what? I always ask questions about like why we can't ask about certain people's families.
Right.
You know, because someone will say, hey, you know, family reasons, personal reasons. But in this situation, it's different because this is everyone's Lord and Savior. The man who won 7 Super Bowls. The man who came back from a torn ACL. The man who was picked number 199. The man who believes that the best championship is the next one. In fact, just the man.
Could it be that he's just getting old and he doesn't want to actually be at training camp for the full time?
Who would do that?
I mean, listen. I mean, could it seriously, could it be that we're seeing Tom Brady age for the first time in a long time? Ever, actually.
I don't think. We've touched on this a couple of times before. On a serious note, I don't think he has the same zest that he had for what the work that goes into it. And I can understand that after a while, but I wonder if that'll affect him this year. And, you know, hey, you've been away for a couple of weeks. All of a sudden you come back. Oh, no, your center's injured. Oh, no, your wide receivers are injured. It's not exactly an ideal spot to come back to. And with the way that things are going from an injury perspective, Vanessa, for the Bucs, I mean, you can make a strong argument of maybe you should have cut the family time or whatever it was a little short just to come back and be a stabilizing force right now. It is definitely a chaotic kind of feel to the Bucs with Brady not being there, with Bowles, the new head coach. I would not feel great if I'm in that locker room and seeing everything because there's a lot of uncertainty.
Even though it seems like Todd Bowles is the one that he wanted, I agree with you. And it's not just injuries. It's offensive line injuries.
Yeah.
Bucks, Tristan Wirfs is day-to-day with an oblique strain.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Sinney is out for the season with a torn ACL /MCL per Adam Schefter. And their center, Ryan Jensen, out indefinitely with a knee injury. So it's not just a couple targets. I mean, these are the people protecting Tom Brady.
Yep.
And they also lost a couple of guys to the offseason to retirement as well. So if you're Tom Brady, are you starting to question coming out of retirement because you don't know if you're going to be well protected and if you're going to have an actual shot?
I don't know if he's doing that yet, but I think it'll be interesting to see, say, the Bucs actually struggle, which they have not since really the first half of 2020. Remember, they were 7-5 at one point, and then they won all their games the rest of the way. If they go through some struggles, is he going to show some of the same disposition that he did when he was in New England in 2019? Because you heard things throughout that year, his last year in New England. He would make comments when the team was 8-0 and undefeated. He was very unhappy with the offense. And as the season wound itself down, a lot of people kind of felt like he was checked out. He thought he was going to leave already, and he was like, yeah, let's just get this thing over with.
We heard a story over the weekend, and I'm interested, and I want both of you guys' take, and of course you can call us and let us know your take as well, on if you believe this story or not. But Dana White told the Gronkowskis on a UFC broadcast. Was it UFC?
That's a lot. No, it's just an interesting... Dana White talked
UFC,
to the
right?
Bronx on a UFC broadcast.
So the Gronkowskis have
alternate.
Their own Manning cast that debuted
for
this
UFC.
Week. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, what is that like?
Dana White...
Whoa, that's sick, dude. Yeah.
You'll hear it.
The vibes are immaculate, bro. Here's a story that Dana White told about a team that Tom Brady and Gronk almost went to.
I worked to put that deal together for Brady and Gronk to come to the Raiders. And it was almost a done deal. And at the last minute, Gruden blew the deal up and said that he didn't want him. And hell broke loose, man. It was crazy. And Brady was already looking at houses, and it wasn't being said yet that Gronk was coming.
Do you believe this?
You know why I believe it? Because the idea that John Gruden would say no to having a good quarterback when he can have some above average veteran that he can basically have
control
under his thumb.
Yeah.
That's been John Gruden's entire time as a head coach, whether it was in Oakland with Rich Gannon, who yes, won an MVP, but let's be honest, like that just came out of freaking nowhere. Or it was afterwards Brad Johnson with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Chris Sims was one of his quarterbacks. I think there was a Brian Greasy year too. He likes not good quarterbacks.
Super on brand.
And I think it's an ego thing for him because he thinks that, for whatever reason, his offense is always going to work. Gruden's one of the most overrated coaches in NFL history. He has gotten a lot of hype. Part of it, I think, had to do with the fact that he got the Monday Night Football play-by-play because, yeah, he's somebody that is a charmer, but when he's in the locker room, he's a two-face. Most players would tell you that, and I find it interesting that Gruden would stand in the way of something like this when it actually would help his legacy be better than what
has
it is.
Has there ever been a messier brother combo than those two? I mean, I'm sure there has, but coaching-wise, they both just kind of evaporated. Remember those videos that came out of Jay, like, with a college girl sitting on the ground drunk?
Yeah, I'd say they're giving the Canseco's a run for their money.
Do you believe,
as far as coaching,
the Brady to Raider story? I will say the thing that I think is overhyped is I think Dane is giving himself a little bit too much credit.
Yes.
I almost had that.
But when has he not done that?
I almost did that. I almost did this. It's like you think Tom Brady and his agent weren't working with the Raiders GM? Like, were you the?
He's a hardo though.
That's the part I don't buy as much as the Dana White's involvement or the level of his involvement.
The importance.
Yes.
Well, it doesn't seem like, you know, as we talk about that MF-er that Brady was referring to when he was on the shop, the quarterback that he was pissed off that a team wanted to keep instead of him.
Oh, you're going to stick with that mother effer.
Because I don't think Miami was definitely yeah, screw to it. Like and whether that was Stephen Ross or somebody else. But no, I buy this. Because Derek Carr has always been like that quarterback that everyone kind of feels that way about. And I'm really curious as to how he, being arguably the most sensitive player in the NFL, is going to react to this possibility, even though, of course, John Gruden is no longer the head coach of the Vegas Raiders.
How about you tell us how you think Derek Carr would react? Because I think that could be semi-close.
He's going to go up into his room. He's going to lock the door.
Yeah.
He's going to play, I think he's going to play like Brand New. He's going to look in the mirror as The Quiet Things That No One Ever Knows plays softly in the background. He's going to apply his eyeliner and he's going to wonder why no one gives him the respect that he deserves.
It does look like he wears eyeliner.
He has phenomenal natural eyeshadow.
Yeah.
Maybe he did one of those things. So I heard this is all the rage these days where people are getting a little tattoo underneath the brow and it like accentuates the eyebrows.
Oh, I get microblading. I get my
brows. Is that what it's called?
I think it's like it's a semi-permanent tattoo.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, because I don't have thick eyebrows naturally and thick eyebrows are in.
Yeah, that's
so,
what I heard.
Yeah, there you go. These great brows, baby. They're not natural.
So maybe he does it underneath his eyes to look like he's, you know, a smoky glass of mezcal.
But how many teams did Brady almost, quote-unquote, play for?
That's my favorite part, is that I feel like every 2 weeks there's another team that, like, almost had Brady.
And Brady goes along with it. Brady will be like, yeah, blah, 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 but he won't name a team. It's like, how many and to Brady's
that is midlife crisis-ish.
He was playing the field.
He's just
he was
swiping right on everyone on Bumble.
Yeah, he was playing the field.
And if
yeah.
you're a Bucks fan, you're like, well, I'm glad it worked out. Like, I'm glad we had, like, an empty enough, like, you know, no, we had no quarterback to worry about, like, replacing. We had our front office did everything possible to get him. Like, we're the most available, so we got him.
Dana White had that feeling and that vibe in his voice. Like, if Brady and Gronk would have come here, we would have won. Vegas would have won the Super
Bowl.
Yeah,
it would have been us.
Dana White, though, is a Patriots fan.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why he likes Brady so much. But the tone in his voice was like, well, it would have been Vegas. I don't know that it would have been Vegas.
I don't like hearing that Dana White, as a member of a man that once defended the wall, you know, part of that army, I don't like hearing that part of it.
That,
you know,
one of your brothers in arms is Dana White?
Oh, help.
Yeah. Is he the weak link because he got him sent to Vegas? I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't say.
But according to him, he almost had the deal done. That sounds like every woman listening knows what I'm talking about. When you're talking to a guy at a bar or whatever, and he's like, oh, I almost did this, I almost did that, I'm the head of blah, 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 and you just realize
the people that
are, like, actually credentialed and actually have power never flex it. Now, Dana White does have influence. But does he have the power to make a move happen that Tom Brady's agent doesn't? Give me a break, dude.
I single-handedly make Vanessa and Gallant every day.
Right.
I'm Sean Mays from ESPN 97.5. Maybe
sure
you heard of me.
It is true, though.
But come on. I mean, he has influence, but it's not like he's getting something done that Lee Steinberg or David Mulighetto or all the other powerful agents can't.
Yeah.
I was the facilitator. I almost made it happen. It gives JoJo Josina vibes.
That's true. I'm told. I said.
Yeah.
But I disagree with the idea that every single person that has power like that, that they all don't flex it. There are some people who that is their entire identity.
That's true.
Like that, and I think that's for Dana White. Like I think that's kind of his whole identity is being like a hard-o guy that's like, yeah, I'm really successful. Bleep you. And he likes to show that he is able to do a lot of different things. And to his credit, I mean, yeah, it seems like UFC's become pretty popular with him in charge.
He loves making deals, I feel like. And so just the idea that I can make a deal with the greatest quarterback ever to have him come to my city.
And especially because he's from Boston. Yeah, right. There's that
almost,
too.
Yeah. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're taking you through some of the stories we missed today. Plus, of course, garbage time. That's next. But first.
I have to tell you about my friends at BUSR.com/ESPN. Look, guys, looking to make some money. We're getting closer and closer to the start of the NFL season. Don't you want to make some bets, some prop bets? Maybe you're feeling the Houston Texans over 4.5 wins. BUSR.com/ESPN. You go there and you get to double your deposit within the first 24 hours of signing up to $1,000. They have all sorts of ways that you can bet on BUSR.com/ESPN, but you got to enter that ESPN at the end to get that double deposit code. You like roulette? You like blackjack? You can bet on that there. You like horse racing? Guess what? It's there. You can deposit with crypto. And plus, when you sign up, they have a weekly newsletter with a sports calendar of the week, gives you trivia to earn prizes, early lines, free picks. You want to be a member for fast payouts and future wagering and everything that you want from a gambling perspective as we get into the thick of to the beginning of the NFL season. You want to go to BUSR.com/ESPN right now. That's BUSR.com/ESPN. I'm telling you, over for the Texans at 4.5, BUSR.com/ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Kayvon Thibodeau, according to Adam Schefter, suffered a sprained MCL. It's expected to sideline him from 3 to 4 weeks. His ACL and meniscus are intact. Now, this was a big story because it caused that kind of debate among current and former NFL players about whether that was a dirty play on him, although it was legal. Was it ethical in a preseason game? Regardless, that's the result of Kayvon Thibodeau.
I'm sorry. You can never, ever tell me that a guy trying 100% in a game that is as violent as it is, where there are as many guys that are trying to make a roster as there are, you can't tell me that that play was dirty. You just can't. I get it. It's something that people look at and you see, well, this guy's a top 10 pick. And if you're doing something like that, you're trying to be dirty. No, he is just another player wearing numbers on the field that is the enemy out there. And if you feel like that guy is going to come across the line of scrimmage and come down hard on your running back, your quarterback, whatever, and you are the only person in his way and you are smaller than that person, that is the natural way to stop that guy's momentum, is to get low and to put your body
into his legs. Low to the window, to the wall.
Right.
I thought Andrew Whitworth brought up a really good point. Longtime Bengal, won a Super Bowl with the Rams last year, where he said, okay, well, these guys are trying to make the team.
Yep.
So it's for them, it's about more than just, oh, I'm going to play it safe. It's the opposite.
I am annoyed by the amount of people that Vanessa, watch the sport and cover the sport, that act like we live in some sort of matrix where these actions that happen so quick are actually happening as slow as we see in the replays. And I don't know. Look, I'm not going to act like I played at a high level by any means. Some of these situations...
All district safety.
Thank you.
But, in Florida, too.
Thank you. Stop, though. I'm trying to be serious here. Some people, I feel like you don't quite get like how hard it is to stop some of these massive people. And sometimes your only way to do it, take it from a guy who was like rather small when he played, is to just go low and take them out at their lowest point. That guy... Kayvon Thibodeau was bigger than the guy who went into him, period. And I feel like because of him being a top 10 pick and being exciting and having a personality, that has turned this into something that it's not.
I thought Sean brought up a good point. It's all the offensive players saying that it's, you know, a fine play, all the defensive players saying it's dirty.
There's that too.
Yeah, defensive players just hate getting cut blocked. That's all it is. And then because A, it sucks, and B, because stuff like this can happen, but at a certain point, it's just part of the game. Like, you can get hurt on any play.
Aaron Rodgers, by the way, who, of course, was on that podcast a couple of weeks ago and talked about his use of, is it
Ayahuasca
sounds Te like amo. A town in Wisconsin.
Yeah, Te amo. I love you, Ayahuasca. But after that, his girlfriend, Blue.
Of Earth. See, get it right. Thank you.
Wrote on that, met with Aubrey Marcus, the podcast. She commented on it and said, changing history and forging the future, one courageous truth at a time, legendary moves.
I love that. That's one way to spin doing drugs. Courageous, legendary.
Have you ever commented something like that on a girl's, like, picture that you're dating or anything?
Serious? On a serious level, no. Yeah. If I post anything on Instagram, it's almost entirely sarcastic, right. And some people are going to get it. But generally, I'll just post all the stupid crap I see because I hate that app and I am somehow addicted to it. I found myself last night, Vanessa, like, looking at reels for like an hour and a half. I have no idea why
I did. Did you hate yourself after?
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's this stupid cat song that has gotten stuck in my head.
And you've been singing it all morning.
And
so
I actually think it's good. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow, meow, meow. Like, it's stuck in my head.
He was singing this morning, and I'm like, are you meowing?
I said yes. Afterwards, I'm sorry. I can't help it.
It's fine. I just want to know why you're meowing.
Because...
Are you a furry?
It's a cat song. No. Oh, insulted. As if.
Changing history and forging the future, one courageous truth at a time. Legendary moves. If a guy ever commented on a video like that, I mean, these people just take themselves very seriously.
Yes, they do.
You have dated a witch.
That's true.
Did she ever say legendary moves,
no,
Paul?
No, she didn't. No.
Sean, you have something to say.
That would be great if she did, though.
I'm just saying, I mean, we're having fun with this, but, you know, this is relationship goals, you know? This is a beautiful thing.
Vibe check, passed.
Yeah.
You know, core memory, the time I took ayahuasca.
I have high hopes for those two. I hope they find love in this crazy, crazy world we live in.
Well, the thing with Aaron Rodgers is who he has dated has gotten progressively weirder, because Olivia Munn doesn't seem weird. Is she weird?
I think so, yeah.
I don't think Danica Patrick is that weird. I think she's...
For an actor, Olivia Munn's not weird.
Right.
What
specifically about her is weird?
There's a couple of things that you can look up if you want to look
up.
Oh,
okay.
And also, I would say, like, the whole having a relationship with the stand-up comic who was married and that deal.
I don't know if that's weird. That's
I forgot about the John Mulaney thing.
Yeah, John Mulaney.
Danica Patrick, not that weird. Shailene Woodley puts clay on her face and, like, does weird nature things weird. And then this is a witch.
She's from Colorado. Yeah. She can't help it.
This is, weird girls are Paul's kink, apparently, because he is having a good time standing up for them today.
Someone named Blue of Earth, I would have zero patience for. I'm sorry.
All right, it is time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Several news outlets obtained an FBI report. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt had an argument on their private jet, to which Brad Pitt told Angelina Jolie one of her children, quote, looked like an effing Columbine kid, and said she was, quote, ruining the family during a verbal and physical fight.
Sounds
on that
right.
Private jet.
You know, that's a private jet conversation.
I mean...
It's supposed to be private.
Why did the FBI have these documents?
Because, remember, there were all of these issues about her, like, saying there was a physical altercation and she had filed a restraining order against them.
Wow.
And then how'd these come to light? Were these at Mar-a-Lago?
The FBI.
I don't know if these were...
Civ.
These could have been at Mar-a-Lago.
These are in the safe? I don't know.
That would be pretty funny. Like, this is what they found. That actually be good content. It would worth the raid to find out that detail.
She requested the release of the FBI documents under the anonymous name Jane Doe after submitting a Freedom of Information Act, which journalists, we call it FOIA. And usually when you leak make a FOIA, Freedom of Information Act request, it's because you want the documents leaked.
I leaked the FOIA because the FOIA is... Okay, I'll stop.
I didn't know what was FOIA. Going on with that.
That's like a Boston way of saying the foyer, which is a room that people... What is that? Like the room that's like right where you get into the house?
Yeah, a foyer.
Yeah.
A foyer. Or
foyer.
Foyer or a den, as we call it in Indiana. I've never heard the word foyer until I moved out. Greenland cannot join the FIFA because not enough grass grows for a football field.
Yep. I mean, it's the all-time con job where I believe the Vikings who settled there was like, yeah, it's Greenland, come on out. And it's like miserable.
Executives claim the lack of proper grass and weather conditions of the country make it unsuitable to play and practice soccer in, and therefore it cannot let Greenland enter FIFA.
Meanwhile, Iceland has a lot of green.
Iceland's very nice.
The irony.
Yeah.
It's
what's
palpable.
Up with that? It was like
what
when the Big Ten had 12 and when the Big 12 had 10 for a while.
Tell you what's going on. Global warming. But not enough in Greenland.
Poland has declared that household cats are now an invasive species.
Well,
the Polish Academy of Sciences has declared that cats are dangerous, adding them to the list of invasive alien species.
I feel like they have, they've experienced more invasive things. So maybe they should, you know, not act like cats are invasive.
Poland?
Yes.
What happened in Poland?
I'm not going to go any further.
Oh, a while back.
That was an
this isn't recent.
It was the start of World War II.
That's right. That's right. But not recent. Okay. I actually was not around.
They got
that.
Invaded by both countries at the same time.
Oh, got it.
Which was like really bleeped up.
Do you think that your cat Aria is an invasive alien species?
Well, yeah. Cats are little murderous bastards. And they kill for sport. Yeah. I have one thing. This is actually kind of related for
go
garbage
ahead.
Time. So I had a drink this weekend and the number 88 is in it, and I feel like we should definitely reevaluate the use of the number 88 when it comes to things that come from Europe, and you can just Google that for yourself, and you'll understand why.
Sean, do you get it?
Yeah, it's another World War II era Germany thing.
I was thinking Michael Irvin.
That too
Des Bryant.
Is also problematic.
And Des,
you should cancel Michael Irvin and Des Bryant for wearing 88 based off of what I found out this weekend.
Yeah,
Google it for yourself.
We'll have a whole segment on it tomorrow because now I'm intrigued. Is Michael Irvin involved in Poland? We'll let you know tomorrow. Coming up next, you have the Killer Bees. Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank will be with you from 12 to 3. Thanks for hanging out, guys.
Peace.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.